Welcome to Crooners and Coffee Shops, everyone. My name is Heather. Today I have Carrie Welling here to discuss her new single, Monster, as well as some other fun projects that she's got going on. Carrie, we would like to hear about how you kind of got started in music.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for having me. Well, music sort of happened when I was very young. My dad is a musician. And so I remember my first memory, 6 years old, sitting on his bed as he was playing guitar. And he was just like, Carrie, like, write something to this melody. And so I started writing, and it was honestly pretty crappy what I was writing, but it was kind of fun because I didn't really think about it. Yeah, it was kind of this thing that me and my dad just sort of did records every summer. And I graduated and I went to school for music and then got in a band in New York City. And I was in that band for a while. It was a duo. And then I went solo. I moved to California, actually, to San Diego, and sort of started my solo career. And then it was a choice of either moving to LA or Nashville. And I had a producer from New York that moved down to Nashville and was like, Carrie, let's do your first solo EP. And so I visited Nashville and I was just like, this is a cool town. Everybody is super cool and supportive. And I found that like the musicians, they were really intimidating. So I loved that feeling of just like, you know, being intimidated by music made me sort of push more. And then now I'm in Nashville, and that was a long time ago. So I've been doing music for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool to hear like your story of like you bonding with your dad and doing the albums like every summer. And I can't even imagine like, you know, the differentiation between the, you know, over the years and stuff.
Oh yeah, for sure. You can tell. I look back sometimes and I'm like, well, you can definitely see the growth of songwriting. You know what I mean? Like, and like the theme of it too. Sometimes it was about like my dogs or something, or like, you know, me, that was very young age where I just wanted to eat candy, into like confusion about relationships, you know, like in high school, and like maybe thinking a boy's cute, you know, and then into like heartbreak, you know. So you could definitely see the progression in like themes, just kind of fun.
Yeah, one day we should do a compilation album like Carrie through the years.
Yes, exactly. Some of them might be really embarrassing, but I would do it.
I mean, I feel like even with big artists, I feel like there's always embarrassing songs that come out of the woodwork.
For sure.
But I actually want to ask you about Nashville. So you said that you had been in LA and now you're in Nashville, and those are two very popular and big music cities. And I kind of wanted to ask you, what are some of the differences, like music wise, music scene, even like the different musicians that are around LA and Nashville, and kind of what the differences that you've seen?
Yeah, I mean, you're very right. They're very different, especially even New York to LA to Nashville. They're all three of them are very different. But I would say, you know, LA is a little bit more, the genres are different. There's a little bit more like, you know, pop is big there, stuff like that. But, and I feel like everybody in production is really big there. And the thing that I liked about Nashville a lot was it was more of like, you got to be with your favorite songwriters in Nashville. And that's where I feel like where I started crafting my songwriting was when I moved to Nashville. And I don't know, like there's good and bads of both, you know, and they're both lovely cities. And I feel like in California, you can get a lot of inspiration from like the aesthetics of California. And I have friends in both, great writers, but I do feel like Nashville, I love because there's more of a community, and it feels like everybody sort of supports each other, no matter how, if you're an A-list star or C-list star or whatever, like everybody kind of wants to see everybody succeed, which I really love about Nashville. And not saying that that's not how LA is, it's just a little bit, LA is just bigger, you know what I mean? So you have to find your little pods in LA, but both great cities, you know, but I find that Nashville is definitely just where it's at for me specifically as an artist, as a writer.
I mean, like Nashville is known as the, you know, songwriting capital for the music world. So, you know, wherever it's going to be, that's going to feel right and home for you and your music. It's always, you know, it comes out in your music, and it's very noticeable. Yeah,
totally.
Yeah. And speaking of music, you actually have a brand new single called Monster, and it features Alex Wong. And,
that's right.
Yeah. And I wanted to ask you, would you care to share a little bit about the lyrical and instrumental elements that you chose to include, as well as your decision to make this a collaborative single?
Sure. Yeah. So Monster is like literally 4 years in the making. We recorded it, like, I'm not kidding. Well, we wrote it about 4 years ago, and then Alex and I recorded it 3 years ago. He produced it. He's an incredible producer in Nashville. Actually, he used to live in LA. Funny enough, this connection is getting bigger. But yeah, we wrote it in his living room, and we both had this, he's a great piano player too. So it kind of started with the piano. And we were just kind of talking about our specific monsters, you know, those things that like sort of talk to you and, you know, that tell you that you're not good enough for this and that, all these things are. And Alex and I's monsters were very different. So I thought that was really cool. But we also shared some monsters too. And we were thinking about how, you know, everybody's always kind of like, get these monsters out of you, like get this, whatever. But what if we sort of accepted these monsters, accepted these sort of dark parts about us, you know what I mean? And just use them for better. That's kind of the theme of it. And it was cool because it went into like a dual single. And then we were like, you know what, we got to do the kinder, the accept, when we accept the monsters track. So then we got a string quartet by the Klein Brothers. They're brilliant in Nashville. So now we're putting out, we're calling it the night, Monster Night and Monster Day. So there's two sides. There's the dark monster and the light monster. And then we decided to put it out together because we both really just felt like we really both love the song. And Alex has got his thing going on as a singer-songwriter, and so do I. And so we're like, let's just do it together. And we're really pumped about it. We've got a single, so it's coming out July 2nd. We've got a really cool show in Alex's house. It's going to be nice and intimate. We actually sold out the in-person show, which is really cool.
Yay!
Yeah. We're even going to have like a monster cocktail, you know, because I'm kind of like, I just want to theme everything. Kind of a dork like that. So like, we're doing
definitely
like
not dorky.
And then we're getting like black and white candles to kind of represent each side. Yeah. And we're doing it sort of as a post party to our friends Delta Rays show. So it's going to be just a big celebration, and we're really pumped. It's 4 years in the making and it's finally here. So
yeah, we're super excited. And like, you know, it's crazy how fast time flies, like you said. You know, with the 4 years in the making, and there's so many different like puzzle pieces to it, like the light and the darkness with the monster theme. And like, it's definitely going to resonate with a lot of people because I feel like, especially after pandemic, you know, we've had to deal with our demons, you know,
for sure.
Yeah.
And I forgot to mention we're streaming it live too. And so half of the proceeds are going towards a mental illness charity, which is, it's called Rethink Mental Illness. And so we're really excited about that too. So it's all kind of connected.
Awesome. That's really amazing to hear that you know, you're working with a cause for a song that's very powerful. And I hope that it is able to help as many people as possible.
Thank you.
Yes.
So sweet of you.
Yes. The power of music. You never know what's going to happen.
That's right.
Yeah.
You said it 100%.
And apart from Monster, you've also released your full-length album, High Heels and Heavy Things, during the pandemic. And I wanted to ask you, how would you say that the recording and marketing aspects have been similar or different between the works in comparison to your previous works as well?
Yeah, well, High Heels and Heavy Things is probably my favorite thing that I've done in my lifetime musically. It's kind of like a little baby to me. Not that the other records were, but like, it's very different than what I've put out before. And it, because it came out of a really intense place in my time in my life. And it's produced by Eric Holdris from Delta Ray, where we just sort of were like, let's kind of put out this really raw, vulnerable sort of 90s record. So all the instrumentation is very raw. And it was very simple. Probably the most simple record that I've ever done because it was just really about the lyrics and not much about, like, we're not thinking too much about the song and like if it needs to go to radio and da 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 da. The whole record is just like a journey. It's a story. So High Heels and Heavy Things, yeah, it came pretty easily. And it was supposed to come out in April of 2020. And then the pandemic was like, nope, you're not going to do it. I was going to do this big live show. And then ended up coming out in September 2020, where we could stream it and have a little bit of an audience. But yeah, it really was, it's a story of, you know, heartbreak, but it's also a story of like, one of my big singles on it is Good to Me, where I just decided to be better to myself. And that was, that song in itself is a blessing, because when I put that out first, I got so much feedback about how many people related to it. And I was like, really shocked, because it's a very personal story of mine about sort of my journey coming to Nashville and becoming a female singer-songwriter, all that stuff, and working in the restaurant industry to support myself. So like hearing how people related to that was my push to finish the record. You know what I mean? Because I was like, you know, people really like me. They really like me. They get it. So.
Yeah, it's awesome to hear that you had the positive feedback and people were sharing their stories. And like, I know where exactly you're coming from. And when you share your personal stories within your music, we as the listeners, you know, we feel it, even if we haven't personally have felt the exact same things that you had experienced. Yeah. You know, everybody's on different walks of life. And When it's set to music, I feel like it almost comes off more honest, as opposed to sitting down and just like sharing your story to the world and everything.
Yeah. And it's cool. It's a cool avenue to be able to do that. And I'm grateful for it. And that's what I wanted. I just wanted people to, almost like a conversation, you know, like I wanted people to hear it as a conversation. And I think that's how music ultimately should be, you know? Yeah.
Absolutely.
You can get it now.
Yes. Please pick up High Heels and Heavy Things and then Monster when it comes out too.
Yes. Woohoo. And yes. Both very different, very, you know, I've got a little pop side to me that I love, and I love to sing big pop vocals, so you'll hear that in Monster too.
Yes, so versatility, we love it.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and you've been amazing at keeping your followers up to date on all of your exciting projects and what's going on in your life via social media. And do you feel like there is almost an unspoken pressure with social media placing on creatives to constantly have new things being shared with their audience, or even sharing specific things that maybe you might not normally share in a sitting down at a coffee shop type setting?
Oh, yes. 100%. It gives me anxiety, to be honest. Social media.
Same.
But it's like, yeah, but it's part of the work. It's part of the marketing. You know, it's a business. You know, you have to market, but you have to do it right, you know. And again, talking about being authentic and vulnerable, like, I think it's a mix between being like, here's a poster of me, stream, you know, come to this live stream, whatever, on this date, or here's a cool, you know, photo that's like perfect, whatever. And then it's also like, there's, I think people, sometimes I'm like, oh God, I got to put something that up that like people can like relate to me with, like some of the stuff, you know. So there's always that. There's always like, am I doing this right? Am I showing them enough of Carrie as like the real girl Carrie? So I think that's my biggest thing, is figuring out that. And you know, like I have my assistant / manager Jen, she helps me out a lot with like what, she's a fan too, so she's like, Carrie, I think they want to see more of like what you're doing in life. I'm like, you're right, you know. So sometimes like she'll put me in check, and it's just hard. There's a lot of different, you know, there's TikTok now, Facebook, Instagram, like Twitter. I'm just like, It's overwhelming sometimes. That's a whole job in itself, as somebody to do your social media. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I love doing it too, because I like to talk to fans, and fans will like, you know, DM me, and I'll try my best to get back to them and stuff like that. So To answer your question, yes, social media is hard for the artists. But I, you know, that's our job. It's part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, gosh, like you said about everything being overwhelming with like, now there's TikTok and then there's Instagram. And it's like, you know, before it was all about Snapchat and Twitter, and like everything just changes so fast. And like, you know, shout out to your assistant and manager, because like you said, it's a whole ass job in and of itself.
Yes, 100%. Yes. Well, she gets paid the big bucks to do it, you know?
Yes. Shout outs to all the social media savvy people out there in the
yes.
world. Not all of us can do it. It's very hard.
It is.
And as a female artist and songwriter, do you feel that women in the music industry need to portray themselves in certain ways in order to be successful?
Well, I think it's gotten better. It's hard. It's a man's world out there in the singer-songwriter world in Nashville specifically. So you have to, you do have to sort of show yourself, and it can be very intimidating. But I feel like it's gotten better with artists like Maren Morris coming in, and Lori McKenna, like even like people like Brandi Carlile, just kind of giving this a little bit more of like, you know, it's hard because like, of course, like as a woman in the industry, you ultimately have to think differently when you're walking into a room of a bunch of record executives, you know, like what are they thinking? All this, there's always that thought. Ultimately the first things that comes out of their mouth is like, oh, you're beautiful. But it's also like, but do you like the music? You know? And so that's been definitely a journey, but I feel like we're on this breaking point, especially I think in Nashville, it's hard, but we're on this breaking point where women in the music industry, they're coming out and they're coming out strong. And so, yeah, I don't think that women should have to think that they have to like be different because they're girls in the industry. I think you just got to do what you got to do. And then, you know, ultimately women rule the world is what I'm trying to say.
Oh yes, absolutely. You know, a lot of men don't like to admit it, but we really do. I mean, we give birth to them. We definitely rule the world.
That's right. 100%.
Yeah. It's interesting to like, hear your thoughts and your experiences regarding the songwriting world, because I feel like it's only come about recently where music listeners have kind of cared a little bit more, not only about instrumentalists, but also songwriters. And it's like, you're right.
Yeah.
There's a lot of masculine identifying people that are songwriters and just taking over and stuff.
Well, there's a core group of them. And so, but I do think women are slowly kind of like coming into that too. Like they're, as I, like, I don't know, just what some of the research that I've done, it's kind of cool to see women names in co-writes and stuff like that, as opposed to the same four people over and over, you know what I mean? So
yes. We are slowly infiltrating.
Yes. I love it.
And one day they're just going to be like, wait, what happened? And it's like, well, you haven't complained about anything. So clearly we're doing something right.
Right. Yeah. And there's a cool little women's retreat too, that is going on in Nashville too. Like really just really strong local women singer songwriters that's going on, which is really cool. Like more of those are happening.
Awesome. I love hearing it. The more resources like songwriterships and programs and retreats and everything, like it's such a good step in the right direction. And I love hearing it so much.
Yes.
Yes.
Love it.
And if you could give yourself any advice in regards to what you've experienced music wise, or even within your life, what advice would you give yourself?
Ooh, gosh. A good one. I would say like, well, as far as music, I used to just be so like caught up in like what other people want to hear. And I know it is ultimately about the listener has to love it, but like there's something to say about like just sort of being you. And again, coming back to High Heels and Everything's like my most successful record, I think, so far, because it was genuine. It was me. It was vulnerable. It was like my stories. I was just sort of telling them in a songwriting way. And I just feel like if I, like going back to my like early, like teenage, early 20s self in the songwriting world. Like, just, and maybe it's because I didn't really know myself as much as I do now, but like, just like, write authentically. You know what I mean? I think that I would say that. And it's cool, like, yes, to get into a write and be like, okay, we have to, this song has to be about this and it has to be in this box. And it's got, that's a whole other thing. But if you're writing for yourself, I think to be just honest and true is the way to go, as opposed to trying to impress something or someone. And I would also tell myself not to worry so much. I'm a worry wart.
Easier said than done. I tell myself the same thing every day. And it's like, well, this is why I have some white hairs now.
Yeah, exactly. And eventually everything always really kind of does work out in a way. Not to be cheesy, but everything does work out. When I think back to the moments where I felt anxiety or worry, I'm like, okay, well, it all worked out how it was supposed to be, you know?
Yes, absolutely. And it might not happen right away or immediately or anything, but at some point you'll reach where you're supposed to be in your journey.
Exactly.
Yes. Exactly. And what do you hope that your audience will take away from your music?
Gosh. Okay. Yeah. I hope they just take away that, like, they can be themselves. Again, coming back, my whole theme of high heels and heavy things is I'm going to be good to me. And I'm like, always like, oh, that's so cheesy, but it's so true. You know, like, be good to yourself, be kind to yourself. Ultimately, all you have is yourself. And then all that love towards yourself spreads onto other people too. And I do believe that, because I've struggled with that in the past. And I feel like I sort of made the decision. It's still always a struggle. And, you know, that kind of relates to the song Monster that's about to come out too, you know, like, just sort of accepting these parts of you. And so I hope that people just really listen to these lyrics, and maybe it helps one person or two people, and that's good enough, and that's fine. Like, mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be a million people for me. If it helps one or two, then I think maybe I've done my job.
Yeah. And like, the fact that you're being open and honest and sharing all of these different facets of yourself, like, it comes through. And in the end, as music listeners, that's all we really want. We want someone who is truthful, who is honest, someone who we can relate to. Like I said, even if it's not the exact same experience, like, you never know what's going on in someone's life. And I love that you say, you know, even if I can help one person, because sometimes that's all it takes, you know?
That's right. Exactly.
Yes.
Totally.
Yes. And to end off the interview portion, what other big exciting things should we be expecting from you apart from the upcoming release of Monster?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So there's a lot of exciting things. Again, now that things are opening up, it's kind of overwhelming, but I do have a really cool July and August house concert tour. So like, check out my website. There's a ton of dates up. Really grateful for that, of all these people that were like, yeah, we'll invite you into our home and put on a concert for you, invite our friends. So that's happening. There is a fall tour opening up for Delta Ray in some venues that like I kind of like only dreamed of performing at. So that's really cool. And festivals coming up in 2022. I'm doing Isla Mujer, Mexico again with Eric Erdman. If you don't know who he is, you should check him out. He's amazing. And also a European tour in 2022. And you know what? I think every artist has their pandemic record coming out. So that's in the works. So hopefully at the end of 2021, I'll be working on a new album.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say it out loud so that now this podcast can hold me accountable.
Saying it out loud is manifestation.
So. Yes, exactly.
Yes, absolutely. And we're so excited for your tours, for the new music, for Monster especially.
Yes. It's July 2nd. We'll be streaming it live, and you can find all of the information on my socials and website on that. So, and again, the proceeds go to Rethink Mental Illness. So it's for a good cause, and we would love all of the pre-saves. Yes.
Yes, definitely find all of the info on Carrie's information, social media and stuff. Actually, where can everybody find you online?
Yeah, so carriewelling.com is my website, and then Instagram, Carrie Welling Music, Facebook, Carrie Welling, Twitter. I think it's Carrie Welling. Ultimately, I'm pretty active on Instagram and Facebook. And then I've got a little TikTok thing going on, trying to build that up. So, you know,
joining the ring
of follows. Yeah, exactly.
Yes. We're so happy to have you on here. It's been amazing getting to chat with you about your music over the years and hearing more about you and how you've grown throughout the industry and everything.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me too. I appreciate your time.
Yes, absolutely. You're an absolute joy. And to get into our coffee shop appreciation portion here at Crooners and Coffee Shops, we love our coffee because it's in our name.
Yeah, I love a good cup of joe in the morning as well. Woo. So if without it, I get really cranky. So.
This is why you are on Crooners and Coffee Shops, because of your love for, your love for coffee.
Exactly. I was like, coffee shops. Okay. Yes. 100%. I'm in. I'll talk to them.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, we've been, even during pandemic, we've been trying our best to make sure that we support local coffee. And, you know, we're in a little bit of a weird spot still, kind of, but, you know, we're trying. And I do want to shout out a lovely little coffee shop. They're not fully open yet, but they are in Burbank. It's called Lou, the French on the Block. They're primarily like a bakery patisserie. Like, oh my gosh, all of their baked goods looked so good. I wanted them all, but I got
yummy.
Yes, I'm a sucker for baked goods and croissants. And I got myself a chocolate croissant and an iced hazelnut latte because it was in the 90s here today. Just letting everybody know that we are in LA and it's hot.
And it's hot for sure.
Yes. So shout out to Lou. They're Black owned and they are in Burbank. Go check them out.
Fine. Well, I know where I'm going next time I go to LA.
Yes. Hopefully we'll be able to meet up for coffee in person.
Yes. Let's do it.
Carrie, do you have any coffee shops or cafes that you would like to shout out in Nashville or wherever you've been traveling?
Yeah. I go to Ugly Mugs a lot to write. And that's in East Nashville. They're just really sweet, great service, awesome coffee, and they have like this little outside patio inside. They're just good people. So Ugly Mugs in East Nashville, that's the jam.
That's funny. There's also an Ugly Mug Cafe here in Burbank.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so funny. That's so fun.
I wonder if it's the same owners. Who knows?
Who knows? You never know. But yeah, we'll definitely have to check out Ugly Mugs whenever we find ourselves in Nashville, for sure.
Would love it. Well, let me know when you're there. I'll take you there.
Yes, I'll need a tour guide. I get lost easily.
Done and done.
Yes. Well, Carrie, thank you so much for joining us today. Like I said, it was awesome to have you on here, and we wish you much success and, you know, well wishes and good health as well. We're still in the pandemic. So.
Yes. For sure. Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And you as well. Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. And to our listeners, stay safe out there, everyone, and stay caffeinated.